Welcome to the Foster Parent Well podcast, where we have real, candid, faith-filled conversations about all things foster care, adoption, and trauma. I'm your host, Nicole T. Barlow. I'm a certified parent trainer, a certified health coach, and an adoptive parent myself. This is a space where you can find support so that you can care for your kids with a steadfast faith, endurance, and joy. I want you to foster parent well. So let's jump in. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Nicole T. Barlow, your host. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the importance of not being the hero in our kids' stories. Many times in society, people can make foster and adoptive parents out to be some sort of hero. I think that title, that role, doesn't serve anyone in the adoption triad well. When we adopted our kids, a sibling group of five, we had several news stations do stories on our family. We got a lot of responses and feedback that we were heroes or angels for adopting our kids. That couldn't have made our kids feel great. And while I believe those comments were meant to be encouraging to us, I often felt bad when people said stuff like that to me. They had made me out to be something that I wasn't, and I definitely was going to let them down. In our humanity, we can't possibly live up to the expectations of being a hero. We were never created to be that. We are simply meant to glorify God, our King, our Lord, and our Savior. Today, we're going to be talking with my good friend, Jennifer Haynes, about just that, about not being the hero in our kids' stories. Jennifer is a mom of seven beautiful kids. She is a foster and adoptive parent trainer, and she and her husband have adopted themselves from the foster care system. She is fun and joyful and just really adds light to any room that she's in. I admire her so much. So welcome to the podcast, Jennifer.
Thank you. I feel kind of guilty that I didn't prepare like an introduction for you.
That's hilarious.
Jennifer, I'm so grateful for you. You are such light in my life. We are just, man, when we're in the same room, it's just crazy things can happen.
That's right. Jennifer and I have been training together. Well, not really together, but for the same organization for many, many years. We don't often get to train together, but we have just spent the last week together in a training. And so it has been super, super exciting to get to spend so much time with her. Jennifer, tell us a little bit about you and how your family came to be.
Okay. I am married to the real Prince Charming. We are high school sweethearts. I mean, technically, I'm a year older than him, so I had already graduated when we started dating, but I still count it. So, but we have those prom memories together and all those early marriage struggles. And we're 30, almost 31 years in. And we figured a lot of things out that we're really proud of. So that's really awesome. We have four biological children. Our oldest is a foster parent as well. So we kind of feel like we must have made it look like fun along the way somewhere. And then we have three adopted boys that are all teenagers that all have various special needs, but are all extraordinary in their own way.
Awesome. Well, I just love your family and watching your family interact with one another and how you and Steven love your kids well and love each other well. So why did you get into foster care, or how did you get into foster care?
Well, we had our four kids. Sophie is our youngest, and she was about, I don't know, four, I think, five. And I heard we were living in Houston, Texas at the time, and they were doing an ad push for kids in foster care. They had, I think, 40,000 kids in the Houston area that did not have somebody to tell them they were special and did not have somebody to tuck them in. And that broke my heart because that was like my favorite part of motherhood. And so got Stephen to think about it. And we, I think as we went through the classes, he got bought in more and more and more. And we've never looked back. We've always been grateful for the journey, even the hard parts.
That's awesome. So how prepared do you think you were when you first got started?
Oh, zero. 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 Because we were coming at it as, look what we did. Like, this was awesome. We took all your advice. We, you know, we raised our kids in church. They were great. We, you know, had some hiccups along the way, but nothing major. And I think we were kind of patting ourselves on the back. Like, we've got this parenting thing. And at the time, I mean, in all fairness, I think that the training has come a long way. And I think what we experienced the first time, I think we went through thinking, oh, that's cute, but we're really good parents. So I mean, it kind of, and the second part of that was our heart was really called to, at first, to drug exposed newborns. So that was hard in its own way, but did not require a lot of trauma-informed parenting. It required a lot of tenacity to get through hard nights and see hard things. But it wasn't until we started taking some older kids that we ran into the problem of, woo, our skill set is a little off kilter for what we were experiencing.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think that as a trainer now, don't you think that lots of parents come into foster care and adoption thinking, I know what I'm doing. I have raised kids or I've parented kids before, and I'm pretty good at this. And so here's my chance to kind of like jump in and be the hero, right? To jump into this environment where kids need care, where kids need love and kids need support, and parents step out into that with good intentions a lot of times, but expecting to sort of be the hero of the story.
Absolutely. I don't think that starts from a bad place. I think that people come at it with the experience, like Stephen and I did, of we have some experience parenting, and doesn't love conquer all? I mean, if we put into practice what we've already learned and use our community that we've already formed and just infuse a little bit of love, can't we, you know, move the needle with these kids that have experienced trauma? And until you understand the heart of what trauma is, you're completely undone.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. What do you think has been your most humbling experience? Or when did that humbling process, right? Because I think the Lord can use foster care as a way of humbling us and helping us understand our need and dependence on Him, right? So
yes.
When did that humbling process really begin for you, and kind of what has that looked like?
I think that the humbling process has been in watching experts do their thing, especially the videos that we show in training, which are incredibly helpful and incredibly impactful, but realizing that those people are in a therapeutic environment. They probably got a good night's rest. They've probably had enough protein for breakfast and got to sit at the table and eat that, do their Bible study and drink half their water by 9 o'clock. And that's not how I was coming at my day. I mean, already as my kids started getting up, the stress and the impact started happening. And so I think that I had to learn that I don't have a perfect environment to parent these kids, but I have to do the best I can with what I have. And that started with giving myself grace, for one, modeling for my kids what a redo looks like and what forgiveness looks like, and making sure that I could do those things for myself to the best of my ability to get ready for whatever was coming my way, but knowing that I don't have the perfect therapeutic environment. I have to create what I can with what I have.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think a lot of times we can look at some of these training videos and think, wow, like they're so good at this stuff, right? But yes. You are right, as we are looking at professionals doing this with kids in a therapeutic environment, have an environment that's set up for that dynamic. And also a lot of them get to go home, right? To a place where they can rest, a place where their brain can kind of decompress for the day. And as a foster or adoptive parent, a lot of times we don't have that. We don't have the opportunity to step away every night and step out of the situation. It means we are living in that situation continuously, which sometimes can mean that we don't get the sleep that we need. And so we're starting off kind of behind the eight ball already when we start our day.
Absolutely. And I think the other piece of that is that the people around us, the people who say, oh, I could never do that, that would be too hard, I can't, those people that are looking into our story elevate us. They put us up on a pedestal. I don't think in a bad way, but just as in an admiration and in a way to give some credit to what they've seen us do. But the problem with pedestals is that it's a long way down when you fall.
Yep.
And so if you start to believe that you belong on that pedestal, I think it clouds your ability to do great things down on the ground, which is where we need to be. So I think that's the other dynamic of other people that I think are well-intentioned, that don't choose to do what we've done. But that's okay, because everybody has a part. So I'm not saying that everybody needs to do what we do, but you know, just to be careful about where we see ourselves in the story is really important.
Yeah, because I think that, I mean, I know for us, like I have noticed that as other people say that stuff to me, it puts a lot of pressure on me to be something that I was never meant to be to begin with, right? And so I think we've heard from adoptees and birth families how dangerous this hero persona can be. But I also think it's very, very dangerous for us. I think it can create a lot of anxiety in us that we have to live up to a certain expectation that we just can't live up to. Like we just we can't meet that expectation. We weren't meant to be the hero of the story, right? And so I think you're right in that as people say things to us, we have to make sure that we're filtering that through humility, right? That we are not elevating ourselves to be the hero, and that we're not allowing, I agree that most people aren't coming from a bad position. They're just admiring what we do. But I think it's important that we don't give off that persona of being the hero to other people as well, as much as we can avoid that. Because I think it just creates false expectations in the world. It creates false expectations in ourselves and in our kids and our families that we are supposed to be serving a purpose that we can't serve. Because I don't know about you, and I'm interested to hear your take on this, but I know for my kids that we've adopted, they sort of had a mentality that us coming in as parents was kind of going to save their day too, and kind of be a fairy tale ending once adoption occurred, that everything was now that they had family, everything was going to be magical. And I think that society kind of puts that expectation on adoption, just like they do marriage and all the things, right? As soon as this one thing happens, life is going to be a fairy tale. I think our kids can run into that too, that they want us to be the hero and save the day. And, you know, it's important I think for us to help our kids understand also that there's nothing magical about what we're doing. There's nothing magical about us. Like, just us coming into the story isn't automatically going to fix everything. Do you feel like your kids had a little bit of that perspective too?
Yeah, I agree. I've often talked about how, you know, the judge, you know, finishes the gavel and we become a family. It doesn't erase the trauma.
Yeah.
It doesn't erase their experiences. It doesn't erase the harm and the hurt that has happened, because we're still dealing with that. They're still dealing with that. That's still part of our story as a family. So even though stability and permanency is very important, it doesn't negate experiences that our kids have had.
Yeah, that's good. How, as foster and adoptive parents, can we get through the hard times? How do we press on?
I think that has been kind of an evolution in my journey. I think I started out with some really poor coping skills. I think I started out with kind of medicating myself with food, or, you know, giving myself permission to take off after things have been hard. Andy Stanley preaches a great series about what breaks your heart. And the whole time when he started that series, I thought, what if what breaks your heart makes you eat M&Ms? Like, that creates a whole nother issue. So, I mean, I think that learning, and I'm 52, like, it's taken me a long time and I'm still not great at it. I think the things that I've been great at, or that Stephen and I have been consistent about, is turning, relying on God, keeping that the center of our family, keeping his promises close to my heart, and being committed to our marriage, being committed to having fun together, being committed to being together, carving out all that time, creating fun for my kids. I think that's been a focus. But I think, as far as I'm concerned, at the end of the day, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't doing a good job at self-care. And I think I've learned that I'm a better mom when I take that time on the front end. And if I don't get a wholesome breakfast made because I've been exercising, you know, frozen waffles it is.
Yeah.
So I feel like giving myself some grace to give myself something first has been a lesson that I'm continuing to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm the same way. I didn't know how to do that early on. And it has made such a huge difference just knowing what my limitations are.
Because I found that when I'm at a breaking point, and it's like this nuclear explosion, and I have just spewed every emotion from the bottom of my heart that has just come up and just bleh, all over my family, then it's twice as much work to clean it up, and I've lost some credibility.
Yeah.
So I have to be extra humble. I mean, humility is important, but I have to make so much repair that I wish that I had been better at communicating through whatever was bothering me. Because, right, whenever you're feeling angry or sad, any of those emotions, there's a deficiency somewhere. There's a deficiency. There's a need that's not met. Either you don't feel like you've been heard, or you're simply hungry or tired, or, you know, there's some kind of injustice. And so we make up for that with our emotions.
Yep.
And the emotions are God-given. They're good. But how we apply them in a situation is the self-control that I think is earned through doing it well time and time again.
Yeah. They need to practice self-control. We do too, right? Like, it takes practice to learn self-regulation and to learn how to walk in that. Awesome. Well, what do you think success looks like as a foster or adoptive parent, right? Because I think lots of times we come in with one expectation, but at the end of the day, now on this side of things, what would you say now success looks like for you as an adoptive parent?
I don't think that success is an overall definition. I feel like success is what is positive in the moment, or to that specific child, or to that specific child's needs.
Yeah.
I feel like I can look at the coaching element of what I have with my older kids and how I leverage what I've learned and events that have happened and to help them to get through. But with my younger boys, they're teenagers, but to meet them where they are is success.
Yeah.
And for them to accomplish the next goal is success. Yeah. So for to expect them, because they're not neurotypical kids, to go through the path of neurotypical kids, to graduate from high school, to go to college, you know, that might not happen for them. But success is them getting to the next step of their development well.
Yeah.
And that is where I've had to kind of temper, because I want their best, but what is their best? And being able to assess that is sometimes difficult, but it's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, and I'd love to know how you feel about this, but I think a lot of times too, I know for me, success has become not necessarily an outcome, but am I obedient today, right? Like, have I done the things that God has called me to do today, regardless of what comes from that, you know?
Indeed. Yeah, totally agree.
How do you think it's helpful to step out of that hero persona, right? Like, why is it helpful to not have to be the hero, to not have that weight on our shoulders?
I feel like it's a relief of pressure. You know, who am I really accountable to? Am I accountable? And I realize, because you and I put ourselves out there, we stand in front of groups of people and tell them how to do what we do, even though we have our insecurities about what we do, right? I think that ordering who I'm accountable to. Have I honored God today? Have I pleased him with my tone? Have I pleased him with my thoughts? Have my thoughts stayed captive and obedient to what he wants for me? Have I honored my husband? Have I brought honor to the groups that I'm available? You know, as a homeschooler, you know, I'm always telling my kids, you know, we're out there and we're kind of the face of that. We're the face sometimes of the people that we represent. Have I honored that?
Yeah.
And I think that takes a little bit of pressure in that order to know, have I done what I needed to do for the people at the top of the list? And if I didn't make it to the bottom of the list, that's okay.
Listen, I don't know if you've ever made it to the bottom of the list. I don't feel like I ever get there.
No, not really. Not really. But there's always tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow. I have learned on my to-do list not to put it on specific days on the calendar, but just to keep a running to-do list, because I don't ever get to all of my to-do list things in a day. I don't know how anybody does.
And I'm super guilty of doing something that's not on my to-do list and putting it on there and crossing it off.
Yes. Yesterday, I put like 3 things on my to-do list after I did them, just to have something to cross off.
So, such a productive day.
So productive. Look at all I got done.
So great.
Well, as we, you know, especially for our kids, as we step out of that hero persona, how do we show them? How do we point them to their real hero? How do we point them to Jesus in everything that we do? How do we show them that it's not us, it's Jesus?
Well, I would say I'm a work in progress on that one.
Yeah.
But I think that my intention is always to parent with humility and to be constantly reminded that when I fail or when I don't live up to either my kids' expectations or my own, to be able to be real with them and to go through the process of forgiveness and the process of grace, and to give those processes words so that we can refer to them at age-appropriate levels. Because I want my kids to know that I'm safe and that I'm in control, but I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
And that I require their grace and their forgiveness and their kindness. I don't know that I'm perfect at it or that that's the perfect answer, but I think that's where I am right now.
Well, I mean, I think it actually gives our kids a little bit of freedom as they see that we're not perfect and mm-hmm. we need grace, because I think that that makes it okay for them to not have to be perfect. We can model forgiveness. We can model asking for forgiveness. And I think it relieves some of that weight off of their shoulders.
Indeed.
Yes. And I think we all need to be reminded that Jesus is the hero. So thank you so much for being here today with us, Jennifer. I have so enjoyed talking to you, as always. I just love your face. So
I love you, friend.
Thank you, Jennifer, again, for joining us in the conversation today. If you enjoyed the conversation, I'd love for you to leave a review of the podcast below. And don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends. I'd also love for you to join us in our Facebook community. It's called the Foster Parent Well Community. I will leave a link in the show notes for you. Before we leave, I'd love to pray us out. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling a community of people together to serve children well. Help us to walk humbly in this role. We were never meant to be the hero. Lord, don't let us step into that. Be our strength and our wisdom. God, help us to be a light in our communities and bring love and hope to those who need it. In Jesus' name, amen.